Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verse number 9. Solomon says here, "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." I want to read it one more time. "Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit." May we pray before we get into this tonight. Lord, once again, we're grateful, we're thankful, we're overwhelmed even, the fact that we get to meet together, that God's people want to come together to fellowship, to sing praises unto your name, and to gather under the preaching of the Word of God. We're thankful for the freedom of assembly, that we're not hiding out tonight hoping that the government or some group is going to come in here and disrupt what we are doing, but we do it in peace, and we thank you for providing that for us all those years. We don't take it for granted. Help us now in these next few moments as we dive into your word, that you would give us some things that are going to help our life, change it, improve it for your honor and glory. Help us to become more like Christ tonight than we walked through the door. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Most of us have heard the expression, "The grass is greener on the other side. The grass is greener on the other side." And I think we've all, whether or not we have contemplated that phrase too much, we all know what it means. Just a few weeks ago, we had a kindergarten graduation, and we had 7 kindergartners up here on the front row, and they were all decorated in their caps and gowns and had their tassels on, and they were excited. Now, they were not just excited about getting to summer break. They were excited as well about moving on to the first grade. You understand, I mean, they really start their grade school years, so to speak, at first grade. And in their minds, they get to be one of the big kids. What they don't realize, though, is that when they get to first grade, they're not one of the big kids. They're at the bottom. And so they get to first grade, and they're excited, and they're happy about it. But soon they realize, I want to get to second grade. And then when they're in second grade, what happens? I want to be in third grade. Soon enough, they're saying, well, I want to go to middle school. And when you get to middle school isn't quite good enough. And you say, well, I want to get to high school. And high schoolers, they say, well, I want to get my driver's license, or I want to do this, or I want to do that. Eventually, it's, I want to graduate. Then they move on to, well, I want to go to college, or I want to start a career. Then you move on, well, I just want to get married. And then I just want to become an adult and be totally self-sufficient on my own. And then you end up becoming an adult, and you think, man, it sure was nice back when I was a child and I had no responsibilities. You know, the single people, they think, man, if I could just get married, that would solve all my problems. Yeah, right. The issue is when you realize it actually opens up more problems. It's worth it, though. But you know, marriage, it opens up problems of its own. And then you have the married folks that who all just laughed and possibly have thought at a time or two that, I remember the freedom of being single. No responsibilities, you know, nobody, I didn't have expectations of possibly, you know, children at home, and I could do what I'd like to do or whatnot. But it all comes down to discontentment where we are at. The wandering of desire. Never being happy with where we are. And regardless of who you are, everybody, if we are honest with ourselves, struggles from time to time with this area of the grass is greener on the other side. Yeah. Now, the person who wrote this verse here that describes the topic in which we're talking about tonight is Solomon. I don't think there's any greater person that God could have chosen to write these words, because we look at his life and we see that he chased after just about everything that could offer pleasure. Anything he wanted, he got. And God allowed him to have. Didn't stop him really from having just about anything. And he realizes at the end of his life, he says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is vanity and vexation of spirit, literally, that it almost torments the soul to constantly be looking over the fence at greener pastures elsewhere. The title of the message, as you see tonight, is "The Grass Isn't Always Greener." It is not always greener. As we look into this, the first thing I want us to notice is there a tendency to look over the fence. There is a tendency to look over the fence. He says this statement, "the wandering of the desires." Now, we are talking about a guy who knew, Solomon, who knew what it meant to have his desire wander. He identifies that our desires have a tendency to do that. The problem with looking over the fence and dreaming about something we don't have, or opportunities we are not a part of, or circumstances we are not in at the moment, is not only the fact that we just see it and identify it, but in our spirit, we almost actually believe that if we had those greener pastures, it would actually bring satisfaction to us. But it won't, and it doesn't. And we'll see that tonight as we dive into this a little further. God has planted you where you are right now. He has put you in the place you are in this moment. He has allowed circumstances in your life to place you right here. You say, "Well, I made this wrong choice and that wrong choice." Yes, but God had a part in all of that, putting you where you are in the moment. Your job, your location, your stage of life. And I will say it is natural for us to want stuff that we don't have and want circumstances that we don't have. The issue is we easily romanticize what we don't have. The things that we don't possess, we look at them, and it almost as if they appear more attractive than what they truly are. You look at somebody else's job, and you say, "Wow, if I could have this guy's job, or perhaps if I could have a job like this, you know what? I would just be happy, and it would satisfy me. This is everything that I want." The part is you don't realize is the boss at that job is a big fat jerk, and he would make your life miserable every single day that you went to work. And it's by God's grace that he hasn't approved for you to go over there, because he wants you to have your sanity. Sometimes God doesn't give us what we want because he knows what comes with it. But the problem, we rationalize and we fantasize about greener pastures elsewhere, and we romanticize things that really aren't even true. We look at possibly an expensive house that somebody has, and you look, "Oh, I wish I could have a house like they have." But what you don't see is this. You don't see that husband and wife sleeplessly tossing and turning on their pillow every night because they have a huge mortgage hanging over their head. And every day it's in the back of their mind plaguing them with the fact that they have to make sure they make enough money this month to cover all these expenses of that big house. You and your perhaps smaller, more modest home may have more peace than the person who has the big home, and you're sitting there wanting what they have. But you don't realize all what comes with it. The desire wanders away from where we are, and we romanticize the things that we don't have. If you have a problem with contentment, please don't get on social media. Just shut all your social media accounts down. Because when people post things on social media, most people are not totally honest when they post on social media. What I mean by that is you see your friends and they only post the highlights of their life. Only the good things. It's like when you watch sports highlights on TV, all you see are the good shots. When you watch golf, all you see is the 30-foot putt that went in, but you didn't see the 10 other putts that guy missed from 6 feet in. You only see the highlights, and it can make you think that your life should be different than what it is, and you can become dissatisfied easily with it because we romanticize these things in our mind. Discontentment, we say in our heart, if only. If only. If only I had this, or if only I had that. If only my circumstance perhaps was different. There are marriages and wives that say, you know, if only my husband was this way, everything would be okay. Or if only my wife was not a nag, it would be okay. If only my boss appreciated me more, things would be different. If only my finances or only my health were better, this or that, and we come to a conclusion in our mind. The danger of the if only thinking is this, is it postpones joy. Right now, you have the opportunity to literally be happy, and I think joy is more than happiness. Joy, I believe, is something that is constant. It's not a roller coaster per se of emotion, but it is something that is steady. It is much deeper than just a temporary happiness. Hence the reason Paul could have joy in a prison cell. It's possible. But when we're discontent and we have, if only things were different, it postpones the joy that we have. I like this quote. It says, you cannot enjoy today if you are waiting on tomorrow to rescue you. You cannot enjoy today if you are waiting on tomorrow to rescue you. If only mentality, it actually questions God's wisdom. It inserts us in a place of authority above God where we say, if I was in charge, I would have done things differently. You don't know best. Even the few choices God actually lets you make, you mess those up. Never mind the big things. We ought to trust God that He knows best and He has placed us where we are. We can be ungrateful even in the best circumstances. You realize we live in Florida, South Florida, that there are people that dream of every year coming down here to vacation to where we live. I mean, they dream of it, but yet we can often complain about it. They don't bark and moan about the traffic that we do. I mean, they don't argue about the long lines at the restaurant like we do and complain about it. They are happy with a smile on their face. They come down here and they spend their money and they have their time and they create memories that are going to last them a lifetime right here. Right here. We can become dissatisfied with how good we have it. How do I know that to be true? Genesis chapter 3 is a prime example. The best example I can actually possibly think about. Genesis chapter 3, Adam and Eve are placed in a perfect garden. A perfect place. I am talking about perfect temperature. You know how troubled I am. I mean, if it's a little hot, I say, ooh, I wish it was a little colder. When January comes around, I say, you know what? It's kind of a little cold. I really don't want to put on a light jacket. I wish it was a little warmer. When it's hot outside and we get wind, I say, man, it's pretty windy today. And then when there's no wind, I say, oh, I wish there was a little wind. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is me. Troubled with discontentment if I don't watch it. Adam and Eve lived in a perfect place. I think they had perfect temperature. Everything their hearts could desire. They had no wars. They had no battles. They had no diseases that we know of. They had no funerals. They had no parting with people that they loved. It was wonderful, better than you ever could have possibly imagined. But it wasn't good enough. It still wasn't good enough for them. They had to take one thing, one small thing that God said not to, and they ruined the whole thing. If that's the case for Adam and Eve, how much more so for us in the fallen state we're in? We have to fight against this idea of being discontent. The grass isn't always greener. Be happy with what God has given you. If you are not happy with what He has given you, you're never going to be happy if you got everything. I promise you that. Secondly, not only do we have a tendency to look over the fence, secondly, I want us to know that the grass over there on the other side of the fence, it has weeds too. That grass over there has crabgrass just like you have crabgrass over here. The issue is the distance makes it to where you can't see the imperfections. The distance distorts our vision. Something is far away, it's easier for us to idolize it. We want to look at somebody else's marriage and say, well, they have a perfect marriage. No, they do not. They have fights just like you have fights. They have disagreements. They have troubles. Everybody has issues. People look at other families, and they assume that it's perfect, and their kids always, you know, they never make a mess. They never drop food on the floor. They're always respectful. It's not true. People look at churches, I should say, and they believe that every day at that church must be like heaven. It's not. It's not. You know, there's people that visit our church, and they make statements to me that are just so not true. They'll say things like this, man, your church down there in Florida, it is just perfect. Wow. Well, first off, no, it is not. First of all, I know that because I'm here, and I'm not perfect. But they look at the out and they say, well, you guys do this and you guys do that. And, you know, my church back here doesn't really do any of those things. And I don't really have that connection. Or, you know, your people are just real friendly. Yeah, hang around here long enough and you'll see the problems. Looking over the fence, you don't see the weeds. Doing a quick drive-by in the car and seeing a big field, you don't notice all the imperfections that it has. Every person, everything has trouble. Every field has weeds. Every life has burdens that you don't see. Every blessing that somebody has, it has a big responsibility that's tied to it. There's a downside to just about everything. Quote for you here says, the grass over there isn't weed-free. You just can't see the weeds from where you're standing. Think of Lot. Lot looked out over the plain of Jordan, and what did he see? He looked out over the plain of Jordan and saw wonderful pastures in which his flocks could feed. He could raise his family. What he didn't realize was Sodom was over there as well. Maybe he did. But I wonder if in seeing the plains of Jordan and how green the grass was over there, if he even realized how it would all end up for him. That because of that move, he would end up inserting his family in probably one of the wickedest cities ever to exist. That from that decision, his wife was going to lose her life. His daughters, spiritually, were going to lose their lives. The grass is not always greener. The prodigal son, who probably for days on end looked out over the fence of his father's field and looked out into a distant land and heard the stories about the fun times people had out there in the big city and the wild times and the nights of partying and wished that that could be him. But yet he never probably saw the pig pen when he was looking at all the fun times that were out there. He probably never thought for an instance that he was going to have to humble himself and walk back to his father's house disheveled, begging not to be a son, but to be a servant. You see, when we look at greener pastures elsewhere, we only see the good. We don't realize there's weeds and there's trouble over on the other side. This desire has a way of altering our reality. We highlight what we like and what we want to see, but we ignore what we don't. We ignore the trouble. Sometimes I'll want to do something, whether it's maybe an activity or go to an event or something, and you know, you just push so hard to make it happen. No matter what trouble you come to, you push through it, it ends up not being the right decision to make. And you force something to happen that you shouldn't. You may say, well, if I had that high-paying job like this guy has over here, and I made all that money like that guy has, my family would be better off. Time out for a second, please. What you don't realize is almost every asset has a liability. You know, the guy that's got that high-paying job, The guy perhaps that got to retire early, and you see, oh, well, he's got a big house, and he's got maybe nice cars, and he has this, and their family has that. They get to go on these vacations. It's not without a cost. Right now, you get to spend every Saturday with your family, throwing a football out in the yard with your little kids. That guy probably didn't get to. That guy made sacrifices to get where he's at. There is no free lunch. You can't have your cake and eat it too. We got several realtors in here, and they may look at the guys that are on the top five lists of sell the most properties. There's a good chance those guys are working 80 plus hours a week. You don't want that. I promise you, you don't want that. The guys that do that, what do? They get out of the bus ministry because they don't have time for it. There's a trade-off to everything. Before you start thinking the grass is greener elsewhere, consider the cost. There's weeds everywhere. Thirdly, let's notice the greenest grass. It's my favorite point, by the way. The greenest grass is the grass where God puts you. That is the greenest grass that you possibly can have. He says, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. One of my biggest pet peeves that I have is when people, maybe they move here from another area, and I face this all the way from, I remember we had, you know, an exchange student or something from another place in the country, and they come to our school, and all they can do is talk about their home somewhere else and how great it was somewhere else. And people move to Florida, and they do the same thing. They talk about how great it was up north in Michigan or Indiana or Ohio or New York or wherever it may be. Now, I'm glad you enjoy where you're from. But this is a pretty fine place to be. You know, the taxes are different here. This is different there. The traffic's not quite as bad. Or you don't have to fight to get into restaurants there. And you know, the weather just in the summer, oh my goodness, it's just so perfect. And I want to say, well, go back, please. Please, just go back. But, you know, I try to be a Christian, put a smile on my face, act as if, you know, what they're saying has some validity to it. Always living somewhere else in their mind. Many times people move here and they're here for 20 years and all they can dream about is when they get to go back somewhere else. And they talk about it all the time. Man, if I could just get back to New England, things would just be so much better. It's just my goal to get back up there or to do this. Or when I retire, oh, I'm just waiting till I retire and then I just get to enjoy this or enjoy that. If you're not happy where you are and on the plot of grass God has given you, you are not going to be happy if you get everything else that you desire. How do I know that? By the authority of the Word of God, Solomon is a prime example. There is no better person to write this verse than Solomon, who understood it. Don't think that you're going to be the exception to the rule. Be happy where God puts you. He says here, vanity and vexation of spirit. Literally, like torment, a torment of your spirit. Never happy, never satisfied. We have to understand God assigns different fields, different plots of land, so to speak, to different people. Everybody has a different road to hoe, so to speak. I was talking to a friend last week whose church is having a vacation Bible school, and they had the vacation Bible school a week or 2 weeks ago, and my friend made the comment, and he said that the youth director at the church was upset because they didn't really have a good turnout. And I said, what do you mean they didn't have a good turnout? He says, well, you know, there's these three other churches in the area, and they had 400 kids at the one. This other one had about 600 kids. And in the church that this youth pastor is at, they had about 94 kids or something at their vacation Bible school. He said, you know, he's just really upset about it. And, you know, I was trying to console him. And I said, pause just for one moment. I said, how many young people, kids, Does your church normally have, like, let's just say on a Wednesday night program for kids that you do every week, like our Awana program? And he said, oh, we usually have about 40. I said, you need, when you get off the phone with me, you need to dial that guy's phone number and tell him to knock it off with being discouraged. If he had 40-something young people every week at his Wednesday night program, and he had 90-something at his vacation Bible school, he literally doubled his attendance, and he's sad and crying about it and down in the dumps. Why? Because he's looking across the street at this church and looking down the road at that church. And he's missing the blessing that was right in front of him. I mean, if you told that to about anybody, you are going to double your attendance at Vacation Bible School from what you normally have. I think that's cause that we ought to get up, jump, and down and have a little spell. But it's going to ruin it for you and for me if we're constantly looking and comparing at what other people are doing. The greenest grass is the grass that's right below your feet. God never intended us to all have the same field. We have different gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4 all talks about this. The eye is not the hand. The eye shouldn't be jealous of the hand. Hand shouldn't be jealous of the eye. We have different personalities. Our opportunities are all different. We ought to stop focusing on all things we don't have and focus on what God has given us to do. Vanity and vexation of spirit is what happens. You know, God placed you where you are on purpose. If you ever get discontent, think of that. God placed you where you are on purpose. You say, well, it just doesn't seem real pleasant right now. I want you to think of Esther. You know, Esther could have complained and moaned and groaned about being in the king's palace, and I can't believe I'm a Jewish person and I'm here in this heathen nation. She could have. You know, Joseph could have complained, I can't believe I didn't do anything wrong and I'm here in prison. Or I was sold into slavery. This bad thing happened to me. God placed them where they were. It may not seem like it at the time, but that was some green grass. Problem is, it wasn't really green yet, but it was getting there. You see, I think Esther, when she realized after the fact that God placed her in that king's palace for such a time as this, that she saved her people from being exterminated by Haman, she probably thought the grass was pretty green at that moment. Joseph saved his family alive from a famine. They meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You may look at your life right now and say, well, it looks pretty brown. God gave me a big old brown patch of grass. He may have. Wait for it to green up. Wait for it to green up. And I don't think you're going to be complaining that you have brown grass. Esther, I don't think, complained about where she at the end of it, she wouldn't have complained. Joseph, at the end, he wouldn't have complained because they saw what God was doing the whole time. Give it some time to green up. And I'm going to say this. With the right attitude, even brown grass can look a little green. It can. With the right attitude, it can. Attitude is not everything, but it is a lot. And it does make a difference. Lastly, the grass underneath your feet needs some watering. Once we stop looking over the fence, we can often notice that the ground God has given us can be neglected. Our own field. One of the problems can be that we spend so much time thinking about what other people have and what life would be if only this or if only that, that we don't cultivate the grass God gave us. There are people tonight, probably even under the sound of my voice, that are dreaming about being in a different marriage than the one they are in right now. Probably dreaming about it. Maybe they don't have a guy's face picked out or a girl's face picked out, but they have something in their mind. Do you know, I truly believe this, that if you spent as much time fixing the marriage that you have and investing in the marriage that you have as you do thinking about the marriage you wish you would have, your grass would be pretty green. That's exactly what would happen. People say, well, my church back home isn't anything like this, and they don't do this. You could be the defining difference in that your church gets to do all sorts of stuff. Instead of sitting back and we suck our thumbs and say, I wish we were like this, or I wish we had this many people, how about you go out and get some people? Brighten up the grass that you have instead of focusing on what other people have. What you neglect will naturally decline. Everything tends to disorder. People say, well, I want friends like that person has. I don't really have that many friends. You know, most people that have friends, it comes by actually working to have friends. Relationships of all kind take work. For some people, perhaps it comes easier than others, but all relationships take work. You want friends like somebody else has? How about you got to be friendly? How about you got to have some self-examination of your own? There may be a reason you don't have very many friends. Seriously. You may dominate the conversation. You may perhaps talk too much. If we stop focusing on what everybody else has and start looking a little bit inwardly, looking how we can green up the grass a little bit, I think it will make a difference. But our desires have to quit wandering. And when our desires quit wandering, we're going to find that we're not vexed in our spirit as much as we once were. In conclusion, what do we need to do? Well, first off, we have to understand the grass is not always greener. It isn't. It's only a figment of your imagination, and it's a figment of mine. We must stop fantasizing about a life in which we do not have. I think every life, yes, could use some improvement, but generally be happy with the life God has given you. If you're happy with the little bit he's given you, believe me, you'll be happy with anything. God has not called us to spend our lives looking over the fence, but to faithfully cultivate what he has entrusted to us. Folks, stop looking over the fence, being jealous about what they have. Stop fantasizing and making something, romanticizing something that is not true. God has given you the greenest grass that he wants you to have. And spend some time watering the grass that's underneath your feet to make it the best it possibly can be. Let's read our verse one more time. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 6:9, better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of the desire. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. May God help us to get this topic. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you once again for a time to look.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.